You must be joking, will I?
No, you must be joking.
No, this is You Must Be Joking, the podcast. We're back. How are you?
I'm good. Was away on holidays.
Did you have a nice time?
Had an amazing time.
We won't talk about it.
Why?
Because, you know.
Do you feel like a woman? And you feel like Rod Stewart?
Why?
I don't wanna
talk about it.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, listen, we have a guest.
Yeah, we do indeed.
We have a guest who we wanted to get on for a while now.
Yeah.
Lawyers.
And he is... No, lawyers. not at all.
Solicitors.
Yeah, that's the correct name. It's a fella that we've looked from a distance at for a long time now, and he's doing very, very well for himself.
Very well for himself.
He is a podcast king. He is...
A dog owner.
A script writer, a filmmaker. He's one part of a duo, which is doing sensational in Ireland. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, can I introduce you to Joe McGuckin? Joe, how are you?
Good, yeah.
Thanks for coming on the podcast.
I love that. I love the introductions. I'm always curious about what people will say. Yeah.
We had Darren on as well a few weeks ago, and it was always our intention to bring you on as well, because it's like the two Ronnies. You can't have one without the other.
No, and as well as that, there's no point bringing the two of you on together.
Why?
I know, yeah.
Because I think it's better individually.
Oh, you have two good
podcasts. Because we can now tell him what Darren was saying about.
Yeah, well, don't say that to the talking bollocks. We had the two of them in at the same time.
Yeah, I know. But that's different. Like, yeah,
they're not in the world of entertainment like these boys are.
Four people on a podcast is a lot, lads.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Four people. Four comedians in a room trying to copy each other.
Yeah, that was the thing. Ooh. That was the thing. At least Terence and Calvin just sat back. I think they got about four words in edgeways, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, podcast. Yeah.
It was actually a good episode. It was varied. Everyone kind of got a fair chance at the mic, I suppose, didn't they? Yeah. You know?
Joe, you take us back to the start, right?
Oh,
the first thing when you became visible online was it the Wind Up Merchants? Was that the first time you kind of were trying to do sketches and videos?
No, it wouldn't have been the first time, but it was definitely the most successful time. Like
that
was,
got you to the attention of everyone, kind of, I suppose.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It was when we started taking it seriously and kind of branding it. It was just me and my mates, four mates, but three of us on camera, and just making sketches back in, geez, what was that? That was 2015, 14 or 15 or something like that.
I met you when you were doing your, the Bleeding Sketch Show. You and Darren sketch out for RTE.
Free gaff,
yeah. Yes. And I went down to do a sketch, and I genuinely thought that was the first time I was meeting you. And you went, we met before, Eric, God's sake, we filmed the pilot. Do you remember years ago, the cop shop?
Yeah.
And I didn't know you were there, Joe, honest to God. Like, you were just a cameraman.
I wasn't just a cameraman. I was just a sound man. Like, I was a boom operator. I was just holding the boom.
You still sound.
Yeah, he is very sound.
There's only one bloke that sounded than you who works in the hospital. Ultrasound.
Ah, right.
And if he's not there, who's next?
What?
The hip replacement guy.
Exactly.
Huh?
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. The guy that does the hip hop. The hip.
I can't top that. It was Cop Shop. You were involved. So, from a very early age then, Joe. Not from a very early age. Yeah, you were only seven doing that. From a very early age, you were... You obviously had ambitions to get into the entertainment industry, to TV. You obviously had a big interest in TV and films and comedy and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, from like primary school, just doing acting, drama classes and stuff like that. It's funny, you're in me short film, Hometown.
Yes.
And Katrina O'Sullivan, who was on the podcast and who was a friend of yours, she's a co-producer on Hometown. And we didn't know this until she was going through old photographs, but she done like a workshop. I don't know if you've seen this, but she done an acting workshop years ago in the local library. I would have been about 10, I'd say. And she has photographs of me and her at that.
As a 10-year-old?
And I thought I only met her for the first time on the set of Hometown.
Like you and Eric's situation?
Well, now it was a little bit of a difference. Yeah. Joe was an adult then. He wasn't 10 years of age.
But yeah, I was always into acting, and then just kind of evolved, going to youth clubs and youth services. They have camera equipment, and they nurtured my interest in it because school didn't. I went to my guidance counsellor and I said, what am I going to do in college? Like, what can I do if I'm into the film and stuff? And he was like, nothing, there's nothing that you can do. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
but a quick conversation that, wasn't it?
Get out.
So listen, I'm into, you know, films, no, nothing.
Yeah, I'm going to hope.
What's a film?
Anything else you want to try?
But you're a bright lad, Joe. We can tell that. We can tell that you're a bright lad. You've obviously, but like you were saying there, school didn't give you the what you didn't nurture you in any way. Mm. But you, academically, what were you like in school?
I mean, I was clever. I just didn't care about school. Right. Me two older brothers never finished school. So the only reason why I done my leaving cert was just to kind of be the first person in my family to do that. But
spoiled your brothers.
Yeah. And I just fell over the finish line as well. Like, I didn't leave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I arrived to do my leaving cert and I left then as quick as I could.
And but, even though the career guidance teacher didn't give you any career guidance about how to get into TV, film or that like that, it didn't put you off then, no? You just went, fuck this, I'll find a way.
There was a big patch in between, like, where I was just kind of making music videos and small comedy sketches, not for the wind-up merchants, but for YouTube. YouTube became a thing. And what was it? There was Republic of Telly.
Yeah.
They had, like, oh, send us in your sketches, and then at the end, at the credits, like, we'll play out your sketches. And every week I'd try make a new sketch and I'd send it in, but it never got picked. But that kind of kept me going. False Hope or something, I don't know what it was, but it never got picked. But that... Yeah, the in-between time before I went back to college, I went to college then as a mature student.
This wasn't Marino College now, Joe, was it?
No.
That was actually a great story. I heard that story.
Yeah,
I briefly
go there.
No, I didn't know. It's mad because when Dublin working class people say that, they go, and I went back to college as immature.
immature. We were all immature students.
In the class.
So paper airplanes across the class and that.
Yeah, go on, tell us the story. Joe. I was just going to say, I was involved in Republic of Telly as well.
Yeah.
I've done a couple of sketches with it years ago when Neil Delamere was hosting it.
Yeah, just rub it in, Will. Just rub it in.
Tell us about college. Somewhere I've never been. This enchanted land of education.
Joe had I listened to this on Joe and Darren's podcast, and it was just made me laugh so much. And let's be honest, there's a lot of listeners that probably don't listen to your podcast, Joe, so I think they'd love to hear that little story.
Right. Yeah, well, I think it's a mad story. I don't have a shake out. Like, you are stand-up comedians, and you probably take this and refine it, but it's not like a rehearsed bit.
Just tell it as it is.
Yeah.
When I finished college, I knew that there was a film course in Marino College, which is a PLC course. You don't get a degree at Ireland, but, like, if you go through that, then you can go to college, proper college, college, university, and get a degree. So I knew there was a film course, and I went back to my ma, and I said, ma, I want to do that course, but I don't know how to do it. Like, I don't know how to enroll. I don't know what the process is. We've never done this before. Like, me two older brothers didn't finish school, so I've never done this before. And she goes, don't worry about it, I'll sort it out. I said, great. And then she came back a couple of days later, and she goes, you're enrolled for that course over in the college. Lovely. Then September came around, and I went in, and I was doing the course for about 2 or 3 weeks. And we were doing I can't remember what we were doing. We were making silent films, so it was actually filming on film, and they had given me my film, and I had scripted a short film, a silent film, and I was, like, loving it. I was in the process, and the teacher, or tutor, whatever the fuck they're called in college, says to me, sorry, can I talk to you outside real quick? I was like, yeah, no bother.
I thought this is a silent film. Yeah.
Sign language.
She says, what's your name? And I said, Joe McGuckin. And she goes, I don't think you go here. I said, what do you mean I don't go here? And then she brought me down to the principal's office, and then she cleared her up, and she was like, yeah, you're not registered to go here. She, you've just been coming here for the last 2 weeks, like, and you're not entitled to.
No way.
Give us the
camera.
So we left with my bleeding tail between my legs, and I went back to my ma. I said, ma, what the fuck is going on there? What happened was, she went to the pub that night, and the porter of the college,
the porter,
he was in the pub, and my ma says, can my son go to your college? And he goes, yeah, and he wouldn't go to the college. And she took that as, like, you're in. So that was my story of
I love that show.
Yeah. And come here, did you not even try to do that, and to kind of, like, was it just completely gone, was it, after that?
I was laughed out of the place. Everyone leaning out the window going, ah, you fucking idiot.
That's brilliant. But that's pure Dublin, isn't it, stuff that happens in pubs. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you get me young, like, oh yeah, I'll get him a job. No sarcastic,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then go back to the account and say, I'm not getting you a job, like, But yeah, man, you'd walk out your mouth going, that's when you go, you want to not to tell now, yeah.
But he wasn't telling any lies when you think about it, because she asked him, can anyone go to that college or not? He said, was, yeah, anyone can go. She just went, oh, yeah.
I am a great mother.
Honours. Honours.
No paperwork, nothing, just like that.
I knew how simple it was, we'd have got the other two in earlier as well.
So what did you do after that, Joe? Obviously bleeding, you got bleeding, flung out of college before it begun.
Yeah, and then I done nothing for a long time, and like I was saying,
what about jobs? Did you walk or did you do anything like that?
There was a, do you know, Siret, I was a waiter and a barman, and I done weight courses and bar courses.
Right.
And that sounds like I went to the gym or something. But like,
a weight course.
I went to
that's just yeah, that's 50 kilos. Well.
He's good.
Walk with a, you can walk with a drug cartel 10 kilos.
It's a weird one, yeah. My brother was in the bar industry. My two older brothers were in the bar industry, so it kind of, that was the only route I sort of knew.
What a hard bleeding job, though.
Yeah.
And look, I was only thinking about it. You know, like, you're behind the bar, giving people drink that are, some of them are having a good time, but you're also a bleeding counsellor and a psychotherapist, and listening to all these people's day to day life. Problems, yeah. Issues, trials, tribulations, coming in when there's a birth in the family, when there's a death, when there's a marriage.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like bleeding. It's so much more than a barman. You're not just the fella that gives you a drink.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're the fella that probably rings the bookies for them or does whatever else. It's a selection box of bleeding jobs, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, an entertainer. You have to be an entertainer as well. Like,
you have to be good at talking and good at barter. Yeah. You know, with a banter as well. Like,
yeah. Did you, like, and basically, we just touched on it there, Joe, your short film, which you were lucky enough to have a little part in, Home Time.
Yeah.
And it was a privilege to be part of that because it was set in the 90s. And it was just amazing to be on set where everyone wearing gear from the 90s, like, you know what I mean?
Smoking indoors.
Oh, smoke was everywhere, all over the pub.
Well, like wearing that you're wearing, like, today.
Yeah, I'm a 90s kid, you know? And it was so real, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, big ash, you know, the big, huge, maybe you had the big Benson Hedges ash, the big square, with the four little slots for the cigarettes. All of that, but your ma was in it as well. She was she played a part of a character in it as well. Yeah. I love that you were like looking after the community and the family and all. There's a lot of people from your area who came up. Katrine herself, of course, who co-produced it. But such a buzz being part of. Where is that film at the moment, Joe? What's the story with it? Is it going out there?
Yeah, well, we've applied for film festivals. So there's film festivals all over the world that we've applied for, and we're just waiting to hear back from then. So, like, if you make a short film, it has like a 1 year lifespan, 1.5 year lifespan on the festival circuit, and then you can't enter into any more festivals. So,
okay,
we're just going to lash it at as many festivals that might take it and win some Oscars.
And the story, why not? The story was like you were trying to write a funny song or something, weren't you?
Yeah, that's the mad thing about it. I write funny songs on my guitar every now and again, and it wasn't one of those, but. It was about that. It was about, like, I remember being a young flat and, like, having a packet of Crips and you shoved into the corner, and I was kind of like, this isn't very funny.
Yeah, it's
and I was
tragic.
Like, it's actually kind of sad.
It's a sad story.
Yeah.
I remember going up to the pub years ago when I was a kid, not drinking, obviously, but God rest me ma, when me ma kind of was drinking at the time, and going up and bringing home the shopping, like, do you know what I mean? You go and get a glass
that's
of red,
film,
go and get a glass of red lemonade and a package of crisps, and the minute you got that, me man go, right, bring the shopping home, right, in the trolley. And I knew that the minute I left the pub with that trolley as a kid coming from a traumatic childhood and violence at home, that there was going to be murder that night. So I was basically walking home with a trolley and going, there's going to be, you know, thinking all the way home, like, wheeling it, there's going to be fucking killings, like.
Yeah, because
you got
the wrong
trolley. Do you know what I mean? But it was...
You're at an age there, though. What did he say?
Because you took the wrong trolley.
But you're at an age where you're aware that shit's happening.
Yeah.
And there's still nothing that you can do about it. So it's kind of the hopelessness. And that's what I tried to capture with the film. And I fucking love it.
But that stuff rings very, very true. Like, and I mean, I know you went back to the 90s, but that for me was happening in the 80s. And that has been happening for a lot of years, like, before that, with stuff like that, with kids that are just kind of, It's madly because I know we're kind of going off a little bit. I mean, kids, a lot of the time, you always hear parents saying to kids, leave him alone, he's quiet. Do you know what I mean? I think kids, like, you know, sometimes it's all right, it's good to have a little bit of kind of peace and quiet. But I mean, a lot of times, I think it's good to just interact with your kids and talk to your kids and not leave them quiet, like, you know?
Yeah.
But I think even reading that script, Joe, how pulled on the heartstrings.
Yeah.
And I think everybody can identify with a little bit. I mean, even myself, like, you know, my dad's on dorky, like, you know, but he used to go boozing and driving and we'd all be in the pub eating crisps, you know, waiting for him to finish his field points and then we'd drive home to Finglas. Do you know what I mean?
Where's Dan the back?
Yeah. Are you sure this is all that? Are you sure?
I go the wrong way.
But the girl who played the mother, Lauren, what's her fucking name?
Lauren Larkin.
Lauren Larkin, yeah. She was just amazing.
Incredible.
And the youngling, the kid.
I mean, Eric, honestly, like we went, it was very important for me to get someone authentic for both of those roles, for the mother, and someone that kind of understands it. And we went through a process getting that kid. Like, I went around to, because it's not like
20 orphanages.
Yeah. Seeing which one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Child,
do the dance again. Do it again.
But we went around to youth services and done some workshops to try find the right kid.
And where's he from?
He's from the Diamonds in Summerhill.
Shine bright like the diamond.
Well, he's
what a great part. What a great part of the city as well.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, and come here, it's mad, like, these places, like, and come here, going back, kind of working class thing, the talent that's in these places, do you know what I mean? And sometimes some kids just don't get a chance, you know what I mean? They don't get the opportunity to go and show what they can do, like, you know? It's great to go in somewhere and get a young lad. How old was he, Joe?
11.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Originally, we wanted a 10-year-old, but he was so good that we were like, do you know what? He'll just be 11.
Yeah.
And he's taller as well. So there could have been reasons to not go on him, but he was just so good.
He just got it, didn't he?
Oh, he could take direction. Like, if you're working with kids, they do a performance and they don't deviate from that. They don't give you the variation a lot of the time. But he would just do something different every time. He's absolutely brilliant, like, he's phenomenal, really,
and
incredible.
You could just see it. Like, I mean, I was in a couple of little scenes with him, and I was watching him, you know, film other scenes that I wasn't involved in from a distance, and how focused he was, and he'd be tuning into Joe and whatever the directors were saying, like, you know, as Joe said, they do it one way, and then he go, that was good, but can you do it maybe this way? Took the direction straight, like, boom, and nails it. And you're going, wow, what a talent that youngfella is. Like, you know, I can't wait for people to see the film, Joe.
I think
it's going to do great for both Lauren and the youngfella, like, you know, and you as a filmmaker.
I think very much.
What do you think? Is that something you'd like to get into going down?
I mean, I'd like to just keep making things that I'd want to see. Yeah. I'd like to just see things being made, not even by myself, but just in general, that I'd like to see, that a story that I can resonate with, that other people coming from their backgrounds, that they can resonate with it. And it being authentic and real, feeling real. And I just want to see that. And being part of it would be class, obviously. But I just want to see that industry that I love so much. Like, I really like the film industry. I just want more stories, more interesting stories being told, I suppose.
I mean, even the likes of what you talked about earlier on, going back to you going to college. I mean, that in itself is a great short story, like. Do you know what I'm saying? But I mean, whether it's comedy or whether it's tragedy or whether it's, you know, whatever, and it's all a story, isn't it? Whether it's a funny story or a serious kind of story. Yeah. But I mean, you have got a great talent, and I mean, I know you've got great ideas and great stuff to do, and sometimes you just need a bit of bleeding backing sometimes, and someone to take a little bit of chance, bit of a chance, and just push a few quid behind you, and who knows what a bleeding happens.
Well, I think, Joe, where you are in your career at the moment is you are building this body of work. You know, you've got all them sketches, you've got this short film, amongst loads of other things that you've done, podcasts and funny sketches and all that. Do you feel as if now that you have been, there are more doors opening for you now?
No, still feels kind of panicky.
Do you, yeah?
Yeah, I think, and it's not the situation, it's not the case, but I still feel like, oh, I need to get jobs over there, or I need to, there's still kind of a erraticness, like a panic.
What is that? Is that imposter syndrome a little bit, or is it just?
I don't, I don't think you can self-diagnose yourself with imposter syndrome, because I think if you are self-diagnosing yourself with imposter syndrome, that's acknowledging that you don't have imposter syndrome. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
So I don't think that's a... Yeah. I think somebody else can say that you have imposter syndrome, right, but I don't think you can say it about yourself. Do you know what I mean?
That's a little bit heavy there.
Do you want that? Put that down.
Right, I said.
Wow.
But come here, listen, it goes without saying like that you're not a fucking one-trick pony.
Yeah.
Right, you're talented in different aspects.
I can juggle as well, lads.
No, but I mean, like, not only that, look, like, you're a great actor, you're a great performer, you're a great writer.
Podcaster.
Yeah, like it's like you've got a few plates spinning, like, so there's always something going on. And even kind of talk about the Chadwick stuff that you've done for Chadwick's, the sketches as well. Mm. Even before I got involved in the one I was involved in, like, I was looking at that and going, like, this is fucking great. And I know they're only a couple of minutes long. And, you know, and it doesn't take that long to do them, as you know and I know. You know, there's a lot more that goes into it than that.
Yeah.
But it's just the writing and I suppose the identification that people just get with it. Do you know what I mean? Even when I was seeing Joe Dowling and what's your guy with the red hair that's a really good builder?
Pete
is a lovely...
Yeah.
I've met Pete a couple of times and he's a great fella and he's a great builder. But he's... Even the... Like, it just everything just kind of looked so natural in it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then when I went down to do the one with you at Chadwick's there in Kewlock, it was just a great bit of crack, like.
Yeah.
It's like it's not nothing. It's like... Get down, meet you, and go, right, this is the way it's gone, but it's very, very loose. We can do our own thing with it, like, you know?
I think
to get that freedom from anyone that you walk with is great, because I get caught up a lot of the times in the fucking lines and the remembering stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas if you walk with someone and they go, look, that's kind of the farmer. If we stay within that and you throw in a line that's better, we're going to run with that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think it just puts everyone else at ease and makes, I mean, you know from doing acting, like a lot more acting than I've done, is that it's a lot easier to walk in that environment and a lot more relaxed, like, you know.
But Will, that sketch that we done with Will for Chadwick's, he's listening to the Chadwick's podcast and then I get in, like, I go to turn her off and then he slaps me hand away and then he gives out to me a little bit and then he kicks me out of the car and then it ends. But we had to cut out so much of that because Chadwick's thought it came across too aggressive and he didn't want to kind of looking like workplace bullying or that, which is a problem, I think, when you're working with brands that you lose a lot of comedy. Like, I wanted you to fuck, and you did it, but I wanted you to be like, don't you ever fucking touch my body. I wouldn't come into your fucking house and switch around.
But I think one of the best lines that you wrote now, and when I seen the sketch finished and I looked at it, I went, fuck's sake, why did he take that out? And it was the part about where you're going, I want to listen to what's on the radio. And I turn around to him and I go, I'll tell you what's on the radio. Misery! And it was just such a great bleeding lion, like, you know.
Oh,
but no,
his face on the screen, man, it was gold. Just looking back at that one take and the rushes, you're just like, that
it's
is
just,
brilliant.
And it's like you, it's just the facial... The facial expression sometimes say an awful lot more than the words.
Mm.
Like when you're left standing there with the bag kind of gone. That in itself is like...
Yeah.
It, do you know what I mean? It just throws the layers of bleeding icing on the cake, like, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And another string to your bow as well, Joe, obviously the podcast, Stall It, with Darren Conway, a previous guest on the show. But Joe, like, the chemistry you two boys have, it's off the charts. It's brilliant. Like, I'm a big fan of the podcast, as you know. Now, I haven't listened to it in a while, so I have a big binge listen coming up to you.
Oh, yeah,
I'm going to be walking the dog and he's getting dragged around the park as I listen to four episodes in a row. But it's one of them podcasts which I hope that our podcast comes across in the same way, in that is, it's like you're eavesdropping on two lads having a chat, two mates having a chat.
Mm.
And that's the beauty of it, I think. I don't think there's any particular formula or strategy that goes into it. It's like, right, we'll just have a chat. And it's like, what have you been up to the last couple of days? And the comedy goal just comes from it. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's mad. When we started doing the podcast, we done a bunch of pilots. And even the lads in there, like the producer, was like, I don't know what this is. Like, like, I think we need to keep doing pilots to figure out a format.
So you hated the way.
Yeah.
We're just talking, man. But that's the thing about podcasts. Like, it doesn't have to have a format. No. Like, if that's the beauty of it. Like, originally, we were doing a lot of sketches together. So I thought people might be interested in seeing the people behind the sketches and getting an idea of where the sketches came from or a little bit of a backstory, but it just kind of evolved into just chatting about shit that we're interested in and that other people are interested in and just finding funny angles.
But that was the thing. I learned so much about the two of you through the podcast. Mm. You know, your backstories, like your childhoods, Darren's childhood and all. I remember Darren says to me there a while ago, first time I met you, I served you a pint in the Shamrock. And I was like, what? He says, no, he's only a barman. And you were like this comedian. I was like, oh, there's Eric Glory, the comedian. And I was like, don't fuck away. He says, yeah, it was a funeral. And then when he said it to me, I went, oh, Jesus, yeah, because it was the only funeral I'd been at in the Shamrock. But I don't remember Darren. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's brilliant to find out the backstory, to find out that these lads, we know these are normal lads, but to hear the real stories behind us, the growing up of things, the growing up in the inner city, it's brilliant. Do you think at the moment, Joe, the way the talking bollocks lads are flying, the way me and Willard are flying, yourself and Darren are flying, do you think it's almost, it's not an obstacle anymore, if you know what I'm trying to say, in terms of the working class, or is it because it's podcasts and anyone can do a podcast? Like, you're not going to see us really on national media presenting the news or doing a radio show. Although we used to do radio shows, what are we talking about?
We used to do a radio show, but we don't do it anymore. I do think it's a, I don't know, like, because it's more, except people want to hear it, but nobody wants to make it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think podcasting in particular is definitely beneficial for people like us.
Giving them a voice.
I could never do the news.
Ah, you could.
Imagine
the series.
It'd be brilliant.
Come on. Seriously.
Imagine just sexual news of LOI and then it comes up to go, Stardy.
We're going to go over to our financial correspondent there. You're talking to Pascal done everywhere. Excuse me, Pascal. Mudge.
The Dow Jones has gone up today. Mudge. The FTSE 100.
I'm going over to Macca now for the weather. It's bleeding piss.
Bring a jacket with you, yeah.
It's early.
And here's Anto with the sports. There's two horses racing on the dumping fingers today. Pato's grey and Jono's blue and white. One by about 3 lengths. See you tomorrow. And the top for today.
And finally,
could you imagine working class news? Wouldn't that be some laugh?
I would love it.
It'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
Just tell it as it is, and you won't believe what happened in town today.
No. The diplomatic language that you have to use working in the news, like, just bleeding say just it as it is.
As it is.
Just being completely natural about it. Some bloke got shot in the head. Now he probably fucking deserved
it. I heard he was a mad rat. I'm not saying it now. I don't want anyone to know about me ma's around.
Allegedly.
We're a reliable source.
It would be the 6-1 news.
Yeah. Or it's like Gemma here all the time in the news, and they're always saying that people was found dead by someone walking a dog.
Yeah.
Better off moving into an area where no one has dogs.
Yeah. Dogs are banned.
They'll never be found.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, anyway.
So, Joe, I suppose the biggest breakout thing that you did in terms of national awareness was the TV show, the Free Gaff. Now, again, like, it's me and Will, I always say this to our guests, not blowing smoke up your hole, but I loved it because it was so original, so fucking out there and off the wall. I was like, how the fuck did they get that over the line?
Oh, you don't even know.
Like,
well, it was an RTE player, so they seen what we were making sketches for the internet, and then RTE players.
I'm thinking of a fella that walks in RTE that's with all the women.
RTE player.
How are you, Finola? Story. Trisha, how's it going?
See you tomorrow night.
We had a sketch for Free Gaff that never got over the line. There was one about a player, like the RTE player, like it was a bloke. I think it was like that, like with all the boys around him. But there was another one that was like in the middle of the show, we wanted it to freeze and just load, and then like, and everyone would be like, oh, for fuck's sake, see this bleeding player. But then like, you're trying to look at the camera like, I'm only going to back out of the show.
That's a great idea.
They didn't want to like poke fun at themselves.
Ah, right, okay.
Which is a shame. I think it would have been a cracking little sketch.
It was.
Yeah, definitely.
It was just super, as I said, like, I was just. And you think you were giving more leniency because it was on the player?
The fourth season, I think they were just like, yeah, let them do whatever. But then after the fourth season, that was RTE player. It was the most watched series on the RTE player.
Wow.
And then for season two, they were a little bit more. Hands on, conscious of what we were making.
Yeah.
It was 8 episodes instead of 4 episodes, so. But then that was that matched the fourth season and was really successful. And then they gave that a spin on TV.
Yeah.
So we were 15-minute episodes, so they put two episodes together. And we knew that they might do that, so we shot it in such a way that they could do that. So then it was like four TV episodes.
But it was
not four TV money episodes.
No, I know. Yeah,
yeah.
But it was great because you got so many of your peers in on the sketches as well. Like, you know,
yeah.
Killian Sonneman. You know, all these people like you, Justine Stafford and myself, James Kavanagh. And it was brilliant that you gave people like us a little bit of, I don't know, stage time, so to speak, kind of thing, like, you know.
Well, I like writing. I mean, ultimately, the objective of Free Gaff was to... It was supposed to be a free gaff where people come around. It was actually supposed to be a setting like this. Originally, the very first idea that we had was kind of a table like this where we sit around and we talk about shit and we talk about something that might spin off into a sketch and then we cut to the sketch. But then we just kind of got a little bit more elaborate and made it like, what if it was a gaff and someone was coming after the gaff, and then it just kind of turned into what it was. What the fuck was I saying about that?
You were talking...
I was talking about collaborating with people and shit like that. I prefer writing than performance. So when I see you or when I see you, I want to write to your strengths. And like, what would be good for these lads? And I done a sketch for the internet with Killian Sunderman where we teach him how to be a scumbag. And only he can be that person.
Yeah,
because like,
he's quite
like,
well spoken and quite washed.
That's brilliant.
Exactly. I love that one. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
so it's like a fish out of water, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're testing him. And did, like, was he was up for it, wasn't he? He was like, and he pulled it off kind of thing.
Brilliant,
like,
it was brilliant.
Gone, Joe could do scumbag classes if he wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah,
he could teach a lot of the D4.
For D4. There's a fucking money spinner for you now.
Yeah, straight in.
If you're going on with the bleeding arts or the score of drugs, here's a few tips for you.
Yeah, sorry, there was another thing I forgot to say about his list of achievements. Businessman in the catering industry now.
Entrepreneur.
You bought a big truck.
I bought a
field truck.
Fucking field truck. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to be Roddy Doyle. I'm just trying to recreate the van, basically.
The van and all.
Yeah.
Well, it's not an all, it's in Balbriggan.
I bought, because I moved out to Coolock.
Yeah.
I'm from town. Moved out to Coolock.
The country.
Out the boats.
Basically, basically, I get lightheaded out there.
Smell is shite.
There's fucking houses. Was there no house attached to that house?
What's all that?
Was there no house on top of that house? Six houses each side of it.
Was there only one family in that house?
Yeah. It's like the flats in town. It's just a house orgy, isn't it?
Yeah.
On top of each other.
It's a gangbang of houses.
Two bedroom up in the back of a one bedroom.
I got a food truck because I moved out to Coolock and there's no good spice bags out in Coolock, and I missed the spice bag from town. And that even that chipper shut down, that curry shop shut down. So I actually messaged like the guy who used to own it. Like my mat, we used to go to that curry shop every fucking day. So
can you name it?
Delido. It was called Delido. It was called Long Tan there, different owners. I'm not endorsing Long Tan.
Somewhere foreign on holiday for weeks, that's what you get, isn't it? Long Tan?
Oh, stop.
Or have you good fake bleeding tan?
Cocoa Brown. Cocoa Brown's new wife. Long Tan.
We love you, Long Tan.
So you
that's the whole glory for the product. We love you, Long Tan.
So you rang the previous owners of the Lido?
Yeah, to get their recipe for their curry sauce, because the curry sauce is
immense.
And I'm at the. Yeah, so.
Yeah, my gosh, that's McDonald's. That's Lasagna's.
No, it's like,
it's cheap.
Like, my favourite curry sauce in the whole world is Hoi Wan and Finglas. And I don't get it that often, but when I do, it's like a special treat because it brings me back to when I was 18, 19, 20, going to Finglas on the beer. And on the way home, we'd have a curry tray with chips and their curry. To this day, I got one 2 weeks ago and it's still as good as ever. Amazing.
I got Hoi Wan before recently because everyone keeps going on about it.
And you went mad?
Everyone goes on about the Frega. I don't get the Frega.
What's
that? No, I don't get it. Right?
What do you get?
The Frega and River. Do you know what? It varies, right? Because I'm kind of swords neck of the woods. So there's loads of different places. I think you got it. The best curry I ever ate in my life, right? And we used to go in. Me and my sister got me good to. I used to go in on the 16 bus to get it. Was on Wexford Street. There's a motorbike shop on Wexford Street on the left, and next door to it, funny enough, now is actually a Chinese cafe, but it used to be a Chinese takeaway. And I can still taste the curry sauce out of it. It was unbelievable. So we used to go in on the 16 down in Santry, and we'd go in, me and my sister on the bus, and we'd get the curry, and we'd get back on the 16, and come back out to Ballymun, because there was no Chinese out in Ballymun.
There's
a few of them. There's three families of them up in Pontry. Oh yeah, no, there is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Saigon Sea. Saigon Sea was beside Nine Flats. So tell us, Joe. Go on, you got in touch with him, and what did he say?
He gave it to us. He gave it to us, and rightfully so, because we paid for the
rightfully
man.
Rightfully so, because we had a knife to his throat.
Give us the recipe.
It's Colonel Saunders.
We cut the tash off.
That was the man.
KFC's curry. Hillbillies.
Yeah.
I don't know. You probably hear this if you listen to my podcast. Yeah. We heard this from Blind Boy. Blind Boy was on the podcast, and he told us that.
Oh, yeah.
The Hillbillies gravy is the original 11 recipe gravy from KFC.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And didn't the owner of Hillbillies meet Colonel Saunders or something?
Yeah, that's how he got it.
Great story.
Yeah.
You were off the session, weren't you?
Yeah.
No, we put a knife to his throat. <like, "That's>
You up, Colonel Saunders?
Give me a recipe.
Had him in a gaff party in Finglas.
Joe, before you bought the truck, did you already have the recipe? Or were you waiting?
No, waiting.
Okay.
Yeah. Originally, I wanted to do an ice cream van, but like with spice bags, where you just go around like estates and you never know where the spice bag truck is going to.
And they're playing music now.
It's like a set of last spice up your life.
Brilliant. That's brilliant.
That's a great idea.
Show me to the left if you look for spice bags. Show me to the right if you just want fish.
That would have been good, but you can't do that with hot food, only ice creams, I suppose. So we went and.
Who makes these laws?
That's brilliant. I'm actually just visualising that. This spice bag man.
It's the spice bag man.
Well, you want to go out and get one.
Yeah.
You? Fucking spice bag man's outside, like. But we didn't do that. We got a food trailer instead. So we got a food trailer and we're going to do events and it's going to be spice bags.
So have you started yet?
Mm-hmm.
You have?
Yeah, you're at a festival.
You should have
there.
Why didn't you get out to EP the weekend?
Because it's like 20 grand to park up down there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Jeez, no wonder my mate was walking to Bleeding Ford in the morning down there flinging sausages and boogers.
Yeah, charging 50 euro for a sausage.
No, in fairness, now I went over, I can't think of the name of them, would have given them a plug.
Boogerology.
What you
Boogerology? That sounds like prison.
Well, I'm not
called Boogerology.
Boogerology.
Well, it sounds like a course you're doing to
do
join.
You know the
Boogerology course, are you?
Do you know that your mate is he runs Oscar's Cafe? Oscar's Cafe? There was some bloke bleeding messaging us on Instagram going, that's me. And then he said, he got on to me, he says, oh, my other mate has Boogerology down on Electric Pig. Come on.
And is that the one that does the sausages and the boogers?
Well, I would imagine
the
Boogerology.
The sausages were gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I have to say, the lads went over and gave us, gave us a sausage. A hot dog each and they were bleeding beautiful.
Yeah.
They were really good. But I was saying to your man, what's the story? He said, it probably did. But he was saying they were wanting till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Like that's what time they stopped at. But I'm now thinking about it, if a pitch is 20G.
Yeah. We're down in, we're doing Coldplay. We're we getting.
Oh, well, nice job.
Not in Crow Park, like, but.
The support.
Around.
The area.
Space back. That's a bar tag. This is a spice bag truck.
Yeah,
la 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 la.
But Joe, you were saying you took on the challenge and said I'm going to make an amazing spice bag that people are going to love.
But let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's called the Very Good Spice Bag.
Oh, Very Good.
So it's just a Very Good Spice Bag.
I love
very
that.
Good, very nice.
That's such an Irish thing. That's such an Irish thing. It won't go quite to amazing, but very good.
Yeah, it's very good.
One of the Irish comedians does a great joke about 4-star pizza. They couldn't actually go to 5-star. It's 4-star though, it's doing very well.
Yeah. It's not bad pizza.
Yeah.
And where would be your go to if you hadn't got your own spice bag? Where would you say is, you know, look, you can't say, but is your favourite, not the best spice bag?
There's a place, it's not the Fraga, it's not the Fragrant River, but there's a place on the Malahide Road called Fragrant City.
And I think that's
all right. That's okay.
Sounds like an aftershave shop, doesn't it?
Fragrancy. Yeah.
Is that dupe you're wearing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got this fragrancy.
Old spice bag.
Hey, brilliant. I mean, da.
On a soap party.
Locked. Trying to have a business out there. He's getting sweet, like.
Can I have a little water?
He's a gang hog with that.
No onions.
Joe, what's What's next for you? What's your ambitions? What's your dreams?
Feature films. I want to make feature films. I want to write a feature film. I've kind of two projects on the go at the minute that like are just kind of half-baked ideas at the minute. But that's where I would like to go. We're doing another live show, the podcast, with the podcast in Bitter Street.
Tell us, let us know. I heard the last one.
Yeah,
was amazing. Phenomenal.
Yeah, it was.
And I'm genuinely not just saying that. I spoke to a few people.
Yeah,
and they says Willa was unbelievable.
Yeah,
and I believed them.
I listened to the podcast, as I said, and I loved even the build up to your first live show. It was in Liberty Hall, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and you both were so nervous.
Yeah,
like Jesus Christ, I can't believe these people coming to see us. Like, and like both these aren't like say. Live performers, so to speak. Do you know what I mean?
Fuck you.
So, so there was that added pressure on you.
Yeah.
How are we going to pull this? But you both went out, threw yourselves into it, and it went well. You were saying there was one or two little blips, but that's stuff you learn from, and it just got better and better. Yeah. Tell us when that new live show is.
It's October 20th, but I don't think the tickets are on sale now. So
right.
It's
the day after my birthday. Right. October 20th. There we go. We'll go to Joe and Darren's podcast live.
Is that a Sunday night?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah,
it is
yeah.
A Sunday night. Yeah, yeah.
So keep your eyes peeled, lads. The Staller podcast live, Darren and Joe, and I'm sure a few guest surprises at that.
Yeah, well,
there'll be surprise guests.
Yeah, guest surprises. Just surprising the guests. Just going into the dressing and going,
ah! Here's your girlfriend from 20 years ago.
Oh, bollocks.
Look at his size, man.
Here's the child. Here's the child you had.
Yeah, you dodged the bullet there, didn't you?
Here's our kids.
Yeah. They're all cunts.
Pocahontas. So you've got a couple of projects on the go. The live podcast. Obviously, you still do enjoy doing the podcast.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. It's great.
It's a great thing. We find that as well. Just going in once a week and having a chat with your mate. What would you want? Like,
we record for about 3.5 hours and like we only get an hour out of it. So you can imagine the shit that it's just chatting. It's edited and it's worked on. It's well produced. Like, but
so is that your formula then, Joe? You go in and just chat for 3.5 hours and go right. We'll see what sticks and what doesn't. And Owen, is it Owen? Is the producer?
Yeah, Owen produces it.
Owen Cleary.
No, that's.
Who am I thinking of?
Owen's a lovely fella. I've met
Darren Cleary.
Owen's a lovely fella.
Yeah.
Nice bloke. Very good at what he does as well.
Yeah.
Darren's all right, except he follows shells.
But anyway. We're the same as well. Like, we just come in and there's no format, there's no nothing, and we just go, look it, let's just have a chat, like.
That's probably what we have.
See what happens, like. Yeah.
We need a structure.
No way. Work structure,
man. No, it works for us. Like, you know, I know, like, sometimes we do pull out the questions which need to be asked, but generally, like, even with
Maisie Wallet.
Maisie Adam was our guest at the picnic there at the weekend, and we'd only met her 5 minutes before we went live with her. Like, you know, we just
Maisie Adam. Game of Thrones?
What's her name? I know who you're talking about. No, Maisie Adams is a comedian. She was headlining the Comedy Tent on Sunday night. She's from Leeds.
Okay.
She's from Yorkshire. She's always on, what's that pleading thing with Jamie Redknapp on Sky? League of Their Own.
Yeah.
And she's on pleading, Have I Got News For You? All of that stuff. She's only doing comedy 8 years.
Yeah, and she's really like kind of got catapulted.
Yeah.
But she's good.
She is very good. And she deserves to be where she is. But I mean, she's like a one in a million case, because people that are doing comedy, excuse me, up to 8 years aren't where she's at. So she's really good at what she does.
Yeah.
And she didn't frog leap anywhere or anything like that. She won a big competition. And
she won So You Think You're Funny in Edinburgh.
Around a lot of doors.
You won that,
no.
What did you win? You won something.
Yeah, I won a raffle in there. No, I didn't. I won an award. I'm an award-winning actor.
Yeah, so am I.
I won Best Performer at the Dublin Fringe Festival in 2019.
And I won Best Actor at the London Ealing Film Awards.
Ooh, yes. Get up there with that.
Me and Steve. You know Steve...
Stephen Ray.
No, the comedian. Comedian friend from Cork.
Stephen Fry.
Stephen... Oh my God!
Spielberg.
No, he's the big comedian from Ireland. He's Argentinian, ma.
Conley.
Stephen Mullen.
Ah, yeah.
The big tall guy. He toured with Des Bishop and all. You do?
Oh, I know. It's the course I do. Yeah. Sorry.
So we did a war film set in the First World War. I played an Irishman in the British Army.
I remember that.
He played a German soldier, and it was about the relationship we formed on that day where all the they put down their weapons for Christmas Day.
Oh, lovely.
Kind of thing.
That's what the song The Farm was written about.
All together now. That's my party piece.
Really?
Yeah, did you not know that?
Yeah.
They all put down their weapons and played football for the day.
Yeah. The Farm.
Did you never hear that song? All together now.
Oh, yeah.
That's all about that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Same old story again.
It was really a one-hit one, but he'd never done that.
He had Groovy Train as well. Groovy Train's a great
Get on, get on, get on, get on. Yeah.
Right. This is lovely.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
That's what we do, Joe. Towards the end of the podcast, we're singing.
Yeah.
Speaking of awards, we got nominated for an award, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Digital Media Awards.
Oh, the Digital Media Awards.
So we have to put on a nice tin of fruit.
And the last time, do you remember the last time we went off with Des Bishop?
Oh, jeez. Enjoying the hold.
We were looking around to a snooker competition. Diggity bows and all that.
We went to the IFTS because Joy in the Hood was nominated as Best Factual Programme or something. Yeah, and we were beaten by...
Were you both on Joy in the Hood?
Yeah. So we were beaten by David
the Pope's
Williams,
children.
The Pope's children.
Was it you that said that? Someone says, my thing, not a Pope with any children.
Yeah. But we, that was it. But we were like starstruck. Remember, we were sitting there.
Your man fucked the award up.
Oh, Jerry Kelly.
Jerry Kelly fucked the award up. Like, so he come out and goes, and the nominee, you're meant to come out and go, and the nominees for this award are Des Bishop's joined the hood, and he just comes out and goes, the winner is the Pope's children.
And then he had to stop it and redo it, and then we had to pretend we were interested, but we knew what that said. Like, oh, fuck's sake.
Fucking hell. Off.
Bleeding Nordies. Causing trouble.
Sudden drink.
Yeah, so your man won it.
Yeah.
The Pope's children, but it was a great documentary.
Yeah.
I was in the park that year, 1979.
I went
up with the Cubs, yeah. We walked up from Ballymun, yeah. And
there was 1.5 million in the park that day.
Yeah, well, I was part of that 1.5 million.
Wow.
So we went up with the Cubs. And that was the year, anyone you hear that's called John Paul, you can be guaranteed you were born 79.
Yeah.
So they're the
Cubs
children.
That's kind of what it was. But I was 8 years of age in the Cub Scouts, and I can still remember it vividly.
I'd say that was a spectacle.
Oh,
yeah.
Very spectacle.
I remember.
And my dad's initials are welded into the top of that cross, in the papal cross.
How tall is your dad?
He's 19'5" with high heels on. No, my dad done on the telephone lines, because underneath that was the church, and there was telephones in it. And my dad worked for, it would have been at the
P&T.
Time, Post and Telegraphs, yeah.
Yeah.
So my dad worked for P&T, there was four of them up there, and they got their names welded into the cross.
Wow.
Hey. It's really useless information for you.
Yeah, a little useless fact. Yeah. Joe, so if we keep cutting across you, we get you to talk about something and go, anyway, well, how are you?
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
So you've got two on the go. The podcast is flying for you. Do you have it? Is there a guest you'd love to have on it? Like, who's your dream guest, Joe?
We don't really do guests, to be honest with you. It's not really a guest type of podcast. And when you do have a guest, it can, like, you probably know yourself, it can just turn into an interview then instead of a conversation, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're not really...
You do it the odd time, once in a blue moon you'll have a guest on.
We haven't been a long time. I think it's been a year and a half since we...
Oh, really?
And if you... But in saying that, if you could have any guest, be it Irish...
Well, I know. I'll speak for Joe. I know, because...
I'm going to get the two to say at the same time. So hang on, I'm going to go 3, 2, 1. No, don't say anything else, Eric Rhee. So I'm going to go 3, 2, 1. You name the guest and you name the guest, because you know.
It's so funny because you're trying to contact this fella.
So here we go. Now you're not to give him a feeder. So are you ready to name the guest on 3, 2, 1? And I'm just going to go like that, right?
Go for it.
So 3, 2, 1.
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk and Barry Keoghan.
Very similar.
Very similar, like, you know what I mean?
Elon Keoghan.
One's a multi-billionaire and the other is Elon Musk.
Lads, is it Keoghan? I've always, until Barry came along, I've always said Keoghan. I have never in my life said Keoghan.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
I've always said Keoghan.
Have you?
Yeah, well, I know him.
Of course, you do know him.
Yeah. Everyone says he
knows. But I was in an acting class with him. I did a year's.
Ah, you were in an acting class.
In Factory Studios with him. And Jack Lehner. And half the cast.
You told me Bleeding Stallone was in that, which as well.
No, not Barty. Not Barty Stallone. No, but Barty was in the class, and I was already doing comedy at that stage, and Barty would always send me messages on Instagram going, are there any chance of tickets for the Laughter Lounge? And I'd sort them out, like, you know.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't fucking reply to that.
No, I don't think he's in charge of his Instagram anymore.
No, he can't surely be.
The Jays is not. But yeah, the sketches and stuff that you might see pop up on TikTok with him and stuff like that, I shot them. And
yeah.
I'm in sketches with him, and before the Wind Up Merchants, it was just my personal page, and the sketches just went up there, just fucking around with a camera like that, bleeding 2 o'clock in the morning.
And he he's obviously now he's grown into himself, he's real good looking young fella, like a bad bloke, like, you know, I mean, remember when he was younger, I remember even in the acting class, he was only 17 or something, but he looked like a little baby, little baby face rounded and all that.
But that's what, do you know what's funny? So he was on Fair City, I was doing one. Barty was on Fair City, yeah.
You know that?
Yeah. Oh, he was on
all the great start there, Will.
Can't wait to get on it.
One of these days, man.
Yeah.
One of these days. I was doing a play, and the director of the play was a writer for Fair City, and she was looking for someone that looked under 18 but was over 18 because they were going to be doing bad shit. And I was like, Barry's perfect for that because he has a baby face, but he's over 18, so he could do that. And so that's how he got into Fair City. And I basically made Barry Keoghan because he just went from strength to strength.
He was nothing without you.
No, I heard that. I heard that myself. Like, I didn't want to say that to you. I'm glad you said it.
Fair play to Joe. So is there anything else we wanted to ask Joe before we let him go?
Is there anything else you want to plug or bleed nothing you want to let us know? When will the Spice Bag fan be on tour, or what's the story?
Well, Coldplay, for starters.
It'll be around.
Where will it be? Where will he be pitched on Coldplay?
Hill 16.
One day it'll be Mount Sinai.
You in the mosh pit.
Right in the middle. Right in the middle, on stage, actually. Just to the left. Just keep your eye out.
Look at the stars. So the whole time I'm dying to see that, Joe. You're on a cast screening now.
I know. We want to do a screening for it, but we want to wait until we have a festival date, because we want to have a debut at a festival before we do like a cast and crew screening. I feel really bad because the kid in it didn't even see it, or like Lauren hasn't seen it. Like people
you've obviously
been
seen
involved.
It.
I've seen it loads of times.
You love it? You delight? We're very proud of it?
Honestly, I wouldn't normally be proud of something that I'd usually be
God,
the
man,
biggest
wasn't
critic.
It?
Yeah, yeah.
And I got the opportunity. I know I got the opportunity. Your man was very sick at the time.
I know.
Unfortunately,
Oh, yeah, my man's not well.
That old chestnut. God rest your man.
See, that's what Dubliners do.
Gallery.
That's great.
No, come here. I was up for it and all the whole lot, and I was meant to, and then I just went, no, I can't.
No, I know.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There was bleeding. Imagine it took off and everyone ended up in Hollywood and be like, nice.
Cheers, man.
Yeah,
We'll bring you in anyway.
No, but come here. Listen, I know you're always busy and I know you're always writing stuff. An opportunity with yourself, luckily enough, we'll come round again and I'll get the shout to do something.
100%, yeah.
And somebody you work with as well a lot, Jer Walsh.
Yeah.
Who's supremely talented.
He's a great director,
you know, and he's been in touch with us, hasn't he, recently, about doing potential work with him, sketches somewhere, like, yeah. Because we've seen his body of work and how good
he's
he is.
He's going to be robbing the gaff and we're going to be keeping sketch.
Yeah.
Doing sketches with him. Sketch!
Good job. It's a good gig.
Yeah, no, come here, he's a talent. I think it'd be terrible to say that he's actually wasted on the Emerald oil, but I think he should be doing other stuff in other countries.
Well, his trajectory's gone.
He's very good at what he does.
Yeah, he's very good. He's so hard working. Like, the man never stops. He never puts a camera down.
No.
The man is just like flat out.
Mm. And he's like, even working with him, Joe, I think what's great about him as well is that even though he is just say a cameraman, he has great ideas. Like, he'll go. Like, again, I remember doing a sketch with Darren, with the dentist and all, and Jer was filming that, and we were trying different things, and then he'd go, what about doing it this way? And we do it, and it works.
He's
a good eye for that kind of shit.
Like, well,
what about giving him an aesthetic?
Like, he wrote Free Gaff with us, so he's definitely involved in the writing process of that me and Darren do, and he's brilliant at what he does,
He's another person we should get on the podcast, Jer.
Why not?
Well, no, we'd have to ask you.
No, why not? No, but that's what I'm saying to you. Like, I think I think it should be open to bleeding. You know, even though it's called You Must Be Joking, like, I think we should, you know, the likes of Katrina, the likes of yourself, the likes of Nicola Thandamine, as I said outside earlier on, everyone, no, what I'm saying, everyone has a story, like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Doesn't have to be an actual stand-up comedian.
Yeah, but sometimes you think that people that aren't going to be interested are really, really interested.
You know, we were surprised at Joe, weren't we?
I did stand up before, lads.
You did actually, didn't you? That's another thing I learned from the podcast. And why did you not pursue it?
I did. The last time, because I fucking didn't get much enjoyment from it. I was just stressed out. And I feel like I'd be more prepared to do it now because of a bit more on stage experience and maybe a little bit more confidence. Like, when I was doing it, I think it might have even been before the wind-up merchants. And I was like, messaging people on Facebook saying, "Hey, you doing? Like, can I get a spot here?" And they were like, "I'll email this." And, you know, there's so many people that you'll never fucking... Yeah.
It's a lot easier now.
Well, now if you have a social media following, like, they'll stick you on stage.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. Like, you'll get stage time an awful lot quicker. But, I mean, even if you haven't got a social... Look, come here. It'd be a lot easier for you. But I'm saying, even someone that's coming in fresh, if you just walk into clubs and approach people and say, "Look, I've got 5 minutes or 7 minutes of material, is there any chance of getting a gig?" They'll just put you down the list and get you in, like.
Now, you could be waiting a couple of months now.
Yeah, no, I know that, but you'll still get in, like. And I mean, them couple of months, for anyone that's listening, that's thinking, do you know what I mean? I'd love to give it a go.
No, Ireland's full.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Did you get the numbers?
Yeah,
forget about that.
Irish comedy scene is full.
Yeah, but if you have any really good material, email it to Willy Woy and I'll look over it for you, and then I'll see if I can get gigs for you.
Have it.
There has been comedians that have took other people's stuff and just said nothing. Yeah, and just said, no, that was mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like bigger comedians.
All the time, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But they're people who don't get gigs anymore.
But years ago, when the old school comedians were out in the 80s and the 70s, they all done each other's jokes, like.
It's mad, isn't it?
Like, you'd be doing bleeding, say, 6 jokes in your set, and then I'd go to bleeding Cabaret and do them same 6 jokes that you done, that you got off him.
Yeah.
That you heard him saying. Look, like, it's crazy when you think about
it. That is a bit mad.
Did you ever hear of Angus McNally? Anyway, listen. We won't go there.
Cut that.
Oh, stop.
Anyway.
Completely from a different era, and Naive, he wasn't doing it. I was like, look at this. Well, I was like, what the fuck? I did a gig with him a few years ago in a golf club, and it did be thing, you know, and he was doing a few songs or whatever, and then...
What was he doing? Songs?
Songs in the
that's
car,
the
like, you know?
That's the thing for songs, yeah.
And afterwards, and then I was talking to him a few weeks later, he goes, after the gig, went, "Eric, that was so funny." I'm going, "Oh, thanks very much." And then a few weeks later, he goes, "Oh, Eric, I was doing another gig last night in another golf club. I was doing all your jokes. You want to see the reaction I got?"
What the fuck?
And I was like, "What?" He says, "Ah, listen, do you remember the one you did? They loved that."
Are you supposed to be okay with that?
I was completely disarmed by his brassness, his openness, you know. And
then I was gigging with him one night, and a bloke says to me, "He's doing all Angus McAvaney's material."
Yeah. Because as we know, Angus but anyway,
he's
singing a song.
Angus, I want to tell you a story.
So Joe McGuckin, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Keep doing what you're doing, and we love seeing where you're going, and we can't wait to see what's next.
Thank you very much.